The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks once again for joining us. This is God Calling, and I'm Paul Orlowski, the host. Sister Jane Nesmith is joining us. She is a member of the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament and has a new job here in Cleveland. First of all, Sister, welcome to God Calling.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Sister, where did you grow up, and tell me about your faith journey.
Well, I grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I have a brother, an older brother, and two younger sisters. And my family converted because my father was interested in having us have the best education possible.
At 8 years old, you went to Catholic school and never looked back. When did you start to discern maybe a call to the life?
I was in high school, senior, maybe after my junior year, I began to think about that. I enjoyed visiting the Blessed Sacrament, prayer, and I also enjoyed young people. I had a group that I was teaching, my own little group of young children that were having some struggles in school, and so I would teach them songs related to their subjects. Mm-hmm. And enjoyed doing that. So among my aspirations was to be a teacher.
Okay.
And then I had inspiration from the sisters. I had Sisters of St. Joseph, and I had the Ursuline Sisters and Gray Nuns, and I had a variety of teachers during the high school time, many religious, and I began to think about that as a reality for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And started a search to find out what order it could be. And I really wanted to join an order that would make a difference in the realities of African-American people in our country, because racism the church was very racist, is racist, but had been very overtly so. And my concern was, what can we do? What can I do to do something about that reality in our church? Because it certainly isn't biblical. There's nothing scriptural about it. There's nothing religious about it. And so I asked my religion teacher if she would help me with come to grips with what my call was, what God was calling me to. And she asked if I were interested in her community. And I said, well, it's not a community as much as a mission. And I said, I need to do something for the African-American people who really want to be Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
There is a barrier, and it shouldn't be there. And so she gave me a book, you know, one of these almanacs with about the sisterhood and the various lists and names and works of sisters. So that's how I began, and I saw there were several African-American orders that were founded by African-Americans and were predominantly African-Americans. And I asked about that to find out that was an area of racism as well, and that African-American women were not acceptable in some of the religious orders. And it just continued, and I said, well, then I need to try to find one. And I thought, maybe one of these orders then are the orders, because I had never seen any Black sisters. So I said, maybe this one of these orders is the one God is calling me to. But then I began to wonder, why do these orders even exist? Why does that have to happen in our church, that that you, the African-American people, then have to find an order of nuns that would be, you know, so we're not. So I began to realize that when I did mention this and bring it up to my family, why they were not very happy about it, because they were concerned that perhaps I would be in a situation where I would not be accepted.
Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, as opposed to some folks who might get mad and go the other way, you dug your heels in and said, I bet I can make a difference.
Yes, I did dig my heels in, but I was concerned about the fact that my parents were, I was still a minor. I was only 17.
Okay. All right.
And my parents were not sold on the idea. So my question was, Lord, you called me. I knew the commandment to honor your mother and your father, no matter what. Honor your mother and your father. So that is what I took to prayer. Should I then choose to honor my mother and my father? Are you really calling me to do this? Or is this something I just feel I have to do or I want to do? And so then I began to really pray about it some more. And then ask the Lord to help me with a sign, because the parents were, I don't think you should go, et cetera, et cetera. So one day I walked into the chapel and I said, well, Lord, maybe a dream, you know, about heavenly things like cherubs and harps, et cetera, et cetera. And I did a very vivid description in terms of what I'd be looking for as a sign. And then one morning I had an experience where I understood from that I had the dream, but it was not anything that I had asked to see. There were no clouds. There was a blue sky. There were plenty of stars, and there was a woman standing there, a very beautiful woman, on a crescent moon, nodding her head and smiling at me.
Wow.
And so I realized, and when I woke up that morning, that was my answer. The Lord was saying, yes, I am calling you, and it's a family affair, so Mother Mary came and helped to move me forward. And so then at that point, I began to just say, maybe it's something God is calling me to do.
Yeah.
And I was comfortable saying that. I did not say, I asked for a sign and I received a sign. I said, maybe. And if I don't like it, or if I find that it's something that is not, and I thought that would be consoling to my family, then I would, I would leave. If it's, if I'm not accepted, if I can't, if it's an atmosphere that is hostile or whatever, then I would leave. I wouldn't stay just to stay.
Sister, if you can stay right there, this is all great background for why you're here in Cleveland. And we'll talk about that with Sister right after these messages on God Calling right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Thanks for staying with us. This is Paul Orlowski, and you're listening to God Calling. And today's guest is Sister Jane Nesmith. And Sister, we talked a lot about your background, but you're here in Cleveland, have been for a little over a year, as the Director of African American Ministry in the Diocese of Cleveland. What does that job entail?
Well, it entails a lot more than I had expected. Because we have four African American parishes, and we have several African parishes, and we also have a number of schools that have African American youth predominantly in an area that is not an African American community. So it entails setting up, working with the people to set up programs that the African American churches can share together to help them on their Christian, on their Catholic journey, and to be able to share that culturally as a unit and not as separate churches.
Mm-hmm.
So we have revivals planned. We have a live nativity planned in which all the churches are participating. During the Thanksgiving weekend, we had called to sainthood, and there are several African Americans on the road to sainthood. And that has been, you know, so it's to understand what does it mean, what is the process for becoming a saint, and how to go about what our role is as these African Americans. The Institute of Black Catholic Studies decided that we would capture the holy people that have been on our journey for a number of years, even during slavery times, who continued on the journey and, as you know, and not looked back, have kept their hands to the plow. They made it through and experienced the racism in our church, but didn't allow it to turn them around. They continued to move forward. And that's what the makings of a saint is, that when you get to a point where you cannot, or you feel an impasse, you can move forward because of the grace of God. Grace of God says, you're welcome, you're beautiful, you're loved, and you're accepted. And on that, move forward, no matter what other implications you might receive from the broader community. Mm-hmm. And all of these saints have done that. And so anyway, we had a very good turnout, and from other churches besides the African-American churches. It's information. And sure, that's one thing I really want folks to realize. Yes, I am the director of the Office of Black Catholic Ministries, but that is all over. It's in our churches, all of our churches, but it's all of our ministries. You know, those churches exist not because they want to be separate, but because they want to worship culturally. Mm-hmm. They had to do that in earlier years because they didn't want to sit in the back of the church, or they didn't want to sit on the side of the church. They wanted to love God with all they have. And that's all that I think every human being has, that right to just love God with all they have. And so when they have to have reasons why they cannot relax, they have to sit somewhere, they have to stay there, they have to be last, in the communion line, and all of these things were going on.
It's very unsettling.
Exactly. And so, you know, so I'm here to say it's everybody's church. And yes, we're celebrating culturally, but come and celebrate with us.
I went to a friend of mine, an African-American, his wedding was down at Fatima. And I'd never seen anybody jump the broom before. but it was a delightful service. And I enjoyed it. You know, you use strong words, and you're not wrong. I think maybe some folks look at it as maybe black Catholics are underserved. And you use a little stronger terms than that. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, they are underserved. But I think that our African-American people are very strong-minded. They're faith-filled, and I guess that's what's important, that they're faith-filled, and so they move forward, and they're entitled to celebrate culturally. There are a couple of churches, and I just have to mention at least one of them, that have a sense of universality and equity and cultural inclusion, and that is St. Dominic's Church. So I have to say that because they sincerely make an effort to make everybody feel important and acknowledged and respected. So I had asked Father Tom Fanta to be my speaker at the Juneteenth celebration that we had on the 19th of June this past year. He did a wonderful job. But it was to realize that this is a journey for all of us. And he said it very well because he mentioned his own transformation. It's a thing, you know, if you're dealing with God, we have to be willing, I guess, to walk the cutting edge. We don't let anybody throw us off. We keep moving forward. And I think that's what grace does. It gives us the energy to keep on keeping on. So the communities are beautiful. They're faith-filled, et cetera. They're just wonderful people, and moving forward to celebrate God And that's what I'm here to help them do.
I see.
Celebrate God.
Now, your order is the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, and that leads us to Sister Catherine Drexel, the founder.
Yes. She founded the order particularly because of racism
yes.
in the church, and she wanted the African-American people to have a place
mm-hmm.
in the church. So she founded churches and schools across the United States, and just because she had her own money, as she being a millionaire, which she had during when she made her decision, which she didn't want to make. She really wanted just to be, to go to religious life. She wanted to become a religious herself. And then I think it was Pope Leo the 13th that said to her, why don't you, you know, she said, but somebody has to do something about the racism in our church. People should be, especially Native Americans. She had very dear to her heart Native Americans. She used to go out there and do philanthropy, and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And the African-American people, she said, something has to be done in our church about them, but I'm going to pray. And then she says, well, he said, why don't you do something about it? She was going to denounce her funds, the money that she had. But so she decided and was, she would pray about it as a mercy sister, sister of mercy.
Okay.
And then decided that she would leave the novitiate there and found her own community that would work specifically to help things happen for African Americans and Native Americans in the United States.
Sisters, stay right where you are. We're going to be back with God Call on God Calling right after these messages. Folks, we hope you'll stay tuned as well here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Sister Jane Nesmith, our guest on God Calling today. She is the director of African American, the African American Ministry here in the Diocese of Cleveland. And Sister, you mentioned, we talked about Sister Catherine Drexel, the founder of your order, and how she had a cause and wanted to do something about it. And her story is sort of similar to yours, in my view.
Well, I didn't have a thing. I didn't have a dime to my name at this. That's
forget,
for sure.
Forget the millionaire thing.
However, the Mother House is in Philadelphia. It was in the Philadelphia area. And that helped me because my family did tell me they would, I was on my own if I wanted to go forward with this idea, and they would not help me financially.
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped the idea of going to the other orders because they were outside of Pennsylvania. But I continued to look through the almanac that I got for a group of sisters that work predominantly with African Americans, and found the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament. So I did not know about the sisters or even mm-hmm. their existence until I read about them in the, and it says that their focus would be for ministry among African Americans and Native Americans in the United States. And they were right there in Pennsylvania. So they were accessible. And that's I guess the big word for me was that's where I could go because they're accessible. I don't have to take a train. I don't have to pick. I just need to find mm-hmm. a way to get there. It was like a suburb, Bensalem, like a suburb area. This huge 45-acre mother house was there. So that's how I came to choose the religious order mm-hmm. that I wanted to enter. And I grew to know and appreciate a St. Catherine Drexel moving forward.
Isn't there a cause for her to be named a saint?
She is Saint.
She's
Catherine.
A saint. Okay, Saint Catherine.
Right. In the year 2000, she was canonized.
Right. You're in Philadelphia, but then you spent an awful lot of time in Louisiana.
Yes, I finished a school. I was studying at Xavier University, which was founded by Saint Catherine Drexel.
You're on the board,
and I'm on the board of trustees at this point. So I lived there after I graduated. I began to work in rural. We had a lot of convents in Louisiana. Some in New Orleans, some in Lake Charles and Rain. Those are the areas because I was doing my student teaching. And I started in Rain, Louisiana, then went to Lake Charles, Louisiana schools, and then back to New Orleans for a parish there. Then our high school, we had Xavier Prep High School, and I worked there for 10 years as a campus minister and heading the religion department. So I started the campus ministry office there, seeing the need for the young ladies, because it was all girls' school, to have a sense of coming together on the morality issues and all of the issues that they were dealing with as in their faith, to have a place they could go. I said at one meeting, you know, well, we need a campus minister here because the counselors are busy with the ones that are having problems. They are problems.
yeah, that's true.
And the ones that are trying to make all of this work in terms of what we're giving them here at our school don't have a place to go. They need a place where they can find a spot to make it all come together. So the principal said, well, you go get the credentials, come back and do it because you have the vision. And so that's what I did, and that's how I started. And then later on, I was asked by the Bishop of Jamaica to come out and do a school they were setting up to set up their campus ministry office there in Jamaica.
Here in Cleveland, how did this job come about? Did they seek you out?
No, I served as the vice president for my community for 7 years. And the COVID time happened in that to make it 7 years. It was 5 years, but the Pope did not want any elections happening during COVID, mm-hmm. you know, virtually. So we had 2 more years. So after that, I prayed about it and to find out how the Lord wanted me to move forward after those 7 years. And I started, I felt a sense that the Lord wanted me to continue to minister. And so I said, well, I'll put my resume out and see, you know, what's out there in the Black community that I could help with. Mm-hmm. And several places jumped out at me, and one was here. And we were doing the synod process here, so for a good while I had not heard back from here. So someone called me from the HR department one day and said, you know, we are interested in your coming out to interview. We're going to do our interviews, and told me what week and all of that. And we'd like you to, you know, if you can come, we'd like you to come out for it. And so I came out for it, and the rest is history.
Yeah, welcome to Cleveland, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. How are you being, I don't want to say accepted, but I mean, are people surprised that this ministry is now more vibrant and you're reaching out to people and things like that? What type of reaction are you
getting? I'm feeling very welcomed and very strongly supported by the community at large. And I want to, you know, if they hear this, to say that it is a ministry that is for all. It's a part of God's plan to be inclusive. It was part of God's plan that we're all created equal. It is part of God's plan that color doesn't have anything to do with character.
Great way to end the program, Sister. What great words. Sister, if somebody is interested, hears this, would like to reach out to you to maybe for some guidance on where to worship, where can they reach you?
Well, they can reach me at the Diocese of Cleveland. I report to work pretty much every day, but I'm very much in the field, so just give me a call.
All right. Sister Jane Nesmith, thank you very much for joining us here on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this very same time.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.